From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
My next guest is somebody that I have had the pleasure of speaking to before. He's an attorney, science teacher, New York Times best-selling author, co-author, along with David Johnson, of The Diversity Con, Secrets and Lies Behind the Shady DEI Industry. He's got a new article out. We are just scratching the surface of the secrets behind DEI. He is attorney Kent Heckenlively. Kent, how are you? Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
You know, it's interesting. I love the way you write. I really do, because you do it in such a wonderful way. I love the continuity of the way in which you present the argument. And what you've done here in this article is kind of what I witnessed in the Diversity Con. This truly is nothing more than an industry created to destroy the principles of meritocracy. And that's the only way you can see it. This is the Marxist dream of infiltration into industries they have no business being in, number one, but to perpetrating that conduit of corruption through boards of companies, isn't it?
Yeah, so it really is using Marxist principles. But I think that the takeaway that I hope people understand is that the real money is not in Marxism. The real money is in monopoly.
Right.
And what they're trying to do is they're trying to destroy the fabric of free market capitalism. And because it's much better if, you know, they have all of us living in a company town, working for the company, shopping at the company store. That's really the whole plan. And all of this chaos that they are engendering is only meant to divide us as human beings, keep us separate from each other, and only paying our money to Amazon and Google and to all these online retailers. They really want to destroy the American community.
What was fascinating for me, and also something that I found a lot of joy in, was watching how quickly BLM, not Biden Laptop Matters, but Black Lives Matters, became a real estate speculating company. I loved it. I loved how she put the moron boyfriend on the payroll as security guard, the sister for advertising, and they basically absconded with the couple of $100 million they raised in a short period of time. They were more obvious in their corruption. But there are organizations involved in this DEI that are not so obvious. In fact, they present themselves as legitimate boards or legitimate foundations, but they're really not. In fact, what they do is just abscond with a tremendous amount of money and power in the end, don't they?
Well, here's who I think is the real villain of this piece. It's a group called the Tides Foundation out of San Francisco, which was founded in the late 70s, and it's really got an interesting legal setup. I say that it's best thought of as a left-wing money laundering chaos machine. Okay, so I just left-wing money laundering chaos machine. So what they do is, let's say you're a rich person, you give $10 million to the Tides Foundation, and they have all these funds, so you can invest in these funds, get a certain rate of return. Then let's say after a couple years, you say, hey, Tides Foundation, I'd love it if you gave $3 million to Black Lives Matter. Well, that money doesn't come from you.
Right.
It comes from the Tides Foundation. And how big is the Tides Foundation? So, you know, many of your listeners have probably, you know, interacted with nonprofits, and you know how they kind of live hand to mouth. Well, in 2020, the Tides Foundation got annual revenue of about $511 million. Who did they get that from? They got it from people like George Soros, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, a whole bunch of Rockefeller foundations. And so what this happens every year. Now, in 2020, they got a little over $500 million in revenue, but they gave out over $600 million in grants. And it's kind of what they can do legally is that they can give it to the most radical groups, and then it's sort of hands off. So I think that the Tides Foundation is giving plausible deniability
yes.
to their funding of political violence.
So it's money laundering. And you know what I love about it? It's the same players. I mean, Bill Gates, after all, is just a simple farmer. It must be that Melinda that figured out this structure of corruption. I mean, you know, this is something, Kent, that how it cannot be missed. If you're an attorney. You're an attorney. You're a science teacher. I'm a meathead, old commodity trader from the Mercantile Exchange. I know what this is. This is a fraud. First of all, the way in which they fund it is a fraud. They're not actually stroking checks for millions of dollars. They're diverting profit to keep it non-taxable. They're diverting profit. Then they control it, right? And then at a certain point, they're double dipping in the write-off. So they diverted the initial. That's why they always use the verbiage of we commit to contribute $200 million, $600 million. They're not actually contributing. They're diverting income. And Bill Gates perfected this. This son of a dog has diverted billions and then gotten a kickback from the very foundations he really controls anyway. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah. And so I say the thing that needs to happen, and this is the way I try to write, because I am a conservative, but I acknowledge classic liberal thought. And if classic liberals understood how this was a dodge by the richest people in the world in order to keep making money, they would join hands with us and we could destroy this corruption. But what they do is they keep us fighting with each other. So we're idiots and we don't see the real enemy.
I couldn't agree with you more, because I'm truly a classic liberal in virtually every sense of the word. And I, so much so, that I'd rather see Bill Gates do this than give 50% to the Pentagon that loses 50% so they can fund their skullduggery too. The only difference is they have better uniforms than Melinda Gates. Aside from that, it's the same fracking scam, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
So, I mean, at a certain point, okay, good for you. You at least got to control the money to your agenda, but your agenda is ruining my country, not to mention my Disney World that I don't even go to anymore, because you've now worked in this sick, twisted ideology of not just people who don't deserve something. We've already had affirmative actions. They exist in every municipality around the country. But what you have here is a twisted, real deviancy in this DEI. And, you know, before you came on, I just had a clip of a Philadelphia very well-known LGBTQ plus activist who's a guy that dresses as a woman, but in the meantime, apparently has raped numerous kids under the age of 13. So this DEI always puts lipstick on the pig of what this maneuvering and this controlling into our society mores that we wouldn't necessarily accept. Do I have it wrong?
No, and what I think happens, and this is really interesting because, you know, we went deep into racism, deep into the laws of the Jim Crow South. And what we saw is actually something very similar to what the DEI people are doing today, which is the laws of the Jim Crow South, you know, prevented a white man from playing checkers with a black man. Well, why did they have to be so concerned about that? Because if a white man sits down with a black man and plays checkers, they find there's more in common than there is different between them. This is exactly what the DEI people are doing.
Yes.
By taking every possible fight that we could have with people and putting people in their corners. So I am just done with this false right-left divide. This is the divide between the wealthy and, you know, the middle class and the upper middle class.
Yes.
This is about our American community. And so we have to, you know, I'm sorry. I think that the left wing has been poisoned. And I look at it's like food poisoning.
Yeah.
They've been poisoned. Well, so I'm not going to react with anger. I'm going to react with empathy and compassion and saying, I'm sorry your news sources have done this to you, but let me tell you what I think.
Yeah, I'm going to ridicule and enjoy that schadenfreude. But the other thing is, there's a fascinating reality that's happening here. And what that is that the government, while manipulating this agenda of diversity and equality and equity and whatever the way they want to phrase it, they've managed to do something I didn't think was possible. When did the government get to put on private company boards very specific individuals to control board meetings? Is that even legal as an attorney? How does the government have the power to interject government-sponsored citizens onto boards that those companies would not have put on? This is astonishing to me, and there is no pushback from any of these companies.
Do you mean the things like former intelligence spooks going on big tech company boards?
Bingo. Yes.
Yeah.
That's outrageous to me. Outrageous, because what you're admitting quietly is that you're accepting the fascism in government-controlled companies as an illusion of private property.
Well, here's how they do it. They sell you this lie of public-private partnerships.
Yes.
Well, Mussolini and Hitler had public-private partnerships, for God's sakes. Look how that turned out.
And this is something that I think is getting lost in the argument, that it is a hybrid fascism, a hybrid Nazism. But the reality is it's working on the schematic of those very two diabolical, corrupt governments. And my question is, I was always arrogant in my life because I thought that the law would prevent my country from devolving into a European mafia government. I always thought there would be lawyers that would say, oh, no, this is absolutely unconstitutional. And I know you're laughing now because I actually I overestimated the integrity and the appreciation and the love of people who became lawyers. How do you not study the rule of American law based on the Enlightenment as the shield of the honest and sit by as it becomes the weapon of the corrupt? How does this happen to so many millions of lawyers?
Well, this is exactly what caused me in 2014 to write my first book with Dr. Judy Mikovits, Plague, was she was finding herself up against powerful pharmaceutical interests. And I had said to her, and she ended up spending over $1 million in legal fees. And I said, Judy, I don't trust the legal system. The only thing that is available to us is to write books where we can tell the truth. Because what would happen is, let's say somebody doesn't like what I say, well, they sue me for defamation. I get discovery. They know that.
Right.
So they will never sue me unless I really tell a lie. They can't sue me to shut up.
Yes. You know, what's fascinating as you watch the bastardization of American law now, and what you just described is happening over and over and over again. And, you know, when we're broadcasting this show from Cook County, Illinois, which is a laughingstock in the nation of gangster government. You know, we have two sitting Cook County family judges on an LLC with an indicted alderman who's a half-assed gangster, second to none, by the name of Ed Burke. And they acquire tax auction property, and it's right out in the open. So we understand the way in which judges can go along with this kind of thing. But how do you explain when you see this kind of attention of fast-tracking lawsuits and very Democrat-specific, fast judgments, $148 million for Rudy? I still don't know what the hell he said and how he defamed these two people. Is this something that is the beginning of the end, in your opinion, of our legal system?
Well, you know, ends can be new beginnings. I am old enough to remember when Eastern Europe fell. And before that fell, the system itself became a mockery. And I feel like we're in the mockumentary stage of our republic. And so hopefully it falls apart and it gets put back together, because the people are really waking up to what's going on. And, you know, I guess the largest political party in the United States is the Independent Party with 49%.
Yes.
People who are sick of the establishment Democrats and establishment Republicans. And I'm one of them.
No, me too. I've been calling for a third party since I got the show, before I got the show. I'm so sick of pretending this duopoly of corruption is anything other than just that. I refuse to go partake. I'll never vote a party ticket in my life. I never really did. And when you watch these step and fetch corporatists pretending to be Republicans, it reminds me of the Illinois Republican Party, which is about as effective as the New York Republican Party. In the meantime, what is effective is the writings of Kent Hickenlively. Thank you so much, Kent, for making time. I want to have you on again. I can't wait for you to write again. Now, do you exclusively release your stuff at thefederalist.com? That's where I saw your new article.
Anybody who wants me, I just did a book with Alex Jones, The Great Awakening. I got other stuff coming on child trafficking. So wherever I'm needed, I go.
And whenever you need to tell people about it, I'm here for you. I really appreciate what you do, Kent. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Sean.